All sin, John said. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. Isaiah chapter 53, please, in the word of the Lord. And it is good to be in God's house. Amen. And somebody said, I don't know about all that shouting. Well, I was shouting yesterday when we finally showed up in the second half and played Arkansas. Amen. People get excited over everything else, and it's normal. You get excited at church, people think you're a fanatic. Amen. I tell you, I've got something more eternal than a football game or retirement or anything like that. I have something that is eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope is in the blood. Amen. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. So you believe in that bloody gospel, you better believe it. Amen. Made the difference in my life. In fact, there's never been a sinner that's been to Calvary that's been turned away. Amen. And I'm glad that when the blood makes a difference in our life, we are made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I appreciate what the Lord gave us last Sunday through Brother Dwayne Moore. Tremendous preaching from the 23rd Psalm. And I love how the Lord is taking us back to familiar scriptures. Been in Isaiah 53 for the last few weeks. And then Brother Moore gave us a Psalm 23, one of the probably the best back-to-back messages I've ever heard out of that 23rd Psalm. Tremendous material. And now the Lord has brought us back to Isaiah 53 this morning. If you're willing and physically able, if you'll join us by standing. And by standing, we want to reverence the Word of God. I do want to invite you to be back in the service tonight, please, at 6 o'clock. I got a very special message the Lord has put on my heart. Maybe a little illustrative type, but something the Lord gave me when we was on vacation that I feel like would be beneficial to our church. Not because I'm preaching it, but just because of truth the Lord's given us. And I want you to be here tonight for that at 6 o'clock, please. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the good opportunity you've given us to be in the house of God. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the portion you've directed our heart to today. Lord, I pray now for the next few moments, Lord, you would cleanse me of sin. You would empty me of myself. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Touch these lips of clay. Lord, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. May we see no man save Jesus only. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give me the mind of Christ and the mind of the Spirit. Lord, if I lean to the arm of the flesh, I pray, Lord, you bring me back, Lord, to the Spirit of God and to the Scriptures. Lord, I pray if it's one here that's lost, I pray you'd save them. Do a work in our hearts that only you can get the glory for. Bind Satan, bind the forces of hell today. Give us liberty, I pray, to preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I appreciate you for standing while we read the word of the Lord and prayed together. We have been preaching the last several, did I turn that on? Are we on there? All right, there it is. All right, good. We'll make sure we got us a new mic this week. I made sure I got it turned on right. Amen. We've been preaching the last several weeks out of on Calvary and around Calvary. And this is the sixth message we have dealt with Isaiah chapter 53. It is known as the Pearl of the Prophets. Isaiah 53 has been quoted some 40 different times in the New Testament. One man said, I gave this other week, but I want to give it again because I like it. He said, it has been said that if the New Testament had been lost and all we had to account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was Isaiah 53, that there is enough gospel in Isaiah 53 to save the world. And I believe that. We dealt, first of all, in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13, 14, and 15, with that personification that was described, his pain that was depicted, priesthood and his priestly duties. And then in chapter 53, verse 1, we preached out of verse 1, who hath believed our report? We talked about the report that is declared, the revelation that is demonstrated, and the requirement that is demanded. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And then we dealt with verse number 2 on the subject, this world they just don't know. We talked about they don't know the meekness of his birth, for he shall grow before him as a tender plant. They don't know about the miracle of his background and as a root out of a dry ground. And they don't know about the mistake the beholders make. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no desire, no beauty we should desire him. But I'll say this, I like what Peter said unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Amen. And we talked out of verse number 3 and we preached on hallelujah, what a Savior. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I say once again, hallelujah, what a Savior we have. And then Sunday before last, we dealt with verse number 4. We preached on the simple subject, Jesus died for me. We see the truth that is stated, surely he hath. The transaction that is seen, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the thought that is sobering, he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He done all that just for me, and I thank God for that. This morning, as we continue our study in Isaiah 53, I want us to consider verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I want to borrow the great hymn this morning and preach on the songwriter in 1900s named Charles Gabriel. He wrote this song, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but he sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I want to preach on that this morning, my Savior's love for me. I'm glad we got a God this morning. He is a God of judgment. He is a God of wrath. He is a God of righteousness. But hallelujah, it's just as much that. He is a God of love. And he is a God of compassion. And he is a God of goodness and mercy. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody listen to me. I thank God for the love of God this morning. And I want to say 3 things out of verse number 5 concerning this fact of my Savior's love. First of all, I want us to think about and emphasize the hurt that he endured. The hurt that he endured. Somebody said, preacher, you preach on the sufferings of Christ a lot lately, and you're going to repeat yourself if you're not careful. If there's anything that needs to be repeated, it needs to be Calvary. Yes, sir. It needs to be the sufferings of Christ. I never want to get over what Jesus done for me. Can we walk by Calvary one more time? Can we go by Calvary and see what he did just one more time? I'm telling you, this thing's winding down real quick. Jesus is getting ready to come. I don't know about you, I want to walk by Calvary and just shout one more time and thank God and rejoice in my Savior's love for me. The hurt that he endured. Notice there are 4 words in this verse that describes his sufferings. The word wounded, the word bruised, the word chastisement, and the word stripes. They each emphasize a different personification of the Lord Jesus Christ's suffering. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, the word wounded. This speaks of the piercing process. Psalm 22, that great messianic psalm says, Psalm 22, 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And then in John chapter 19, verse 34, after Jesus had already given up the ghost, the Bible teaches us, but one of the soldiers with a spear
pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Heard a man make this statement this week, and I agree with it, and I'm not trying to be graphic. He said, in order for a birth to take place, you got to have blood and water. Did you get a hold of that? In order for a birth to take place, hallelujah, there has to be blood and water. Remember what that in the book of Genesis on Noah's ark, that door was not in the top, it was not in the back or in the front, but it was in the side. You know where God took a rib from Adam's side and brought forth a bride. Well, when that soldier took that spear and thrust the Lord Jesus Christ's side, out came blood and water, and there not done a physical birth necessarily, but a spiritual birth, a second birth took place and made it possible that I could be born again. The wounding speaks of the piercing. Then the word bruised speaks of the pain. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now it's interesting, that word bruised, it literally means to crush. It means to strip away. It means to crush, to pulverize, one definition said. As I began to think about that, I thought about the book of Exodus, chapter 30. When they got the ingredients together, Brother Richard, to make that holy anointing oil. It's interesting, Brother Sanford, there were 5 ingredients. You study it out in Exodus 30, verse 22 through 25. They had myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, and olive oil. Myrrh was harvested by wounding the side of a tree. And then cinnamon, how they harvest it, they would chop off the branches, the entire tree, and they'd peel back the outer bark to harvest that cinnamon. Calamus was a cane that they would dry, and they would beat it into a fine powder. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Cassia means to split, and it's because that bark would be peeled off. Then olive oil was beaten for the light. So don't miss this. In order for them to have that holy anointing oil that was necessary for them to have church, something had to be beat. Something had to be bruised. Hey. Something had to be tortured and stripped away and beaten and crushed in order for them to have church. And can I remind you, the only reason we're here today, the only reason we can have church today, the only reason we can get up in that choir and sing, the only reason we can come down here and give our offering, the only reason we can have this King James Bible and open up, hear the Word of God preached today, is because He was bruised. He was crushed. He was stripped. And because He was, we get to have church. That wounded speaks of the piercing. The bruising speaks of the pain. The chastisement speaks of the punishment. You know what chastise means? It means to correct. Hebrews 12 talks about correcting our children. The Lord chasteth every son He receiveth. But before He chastened any of His sons, Brother Tony, He chastened His own son. But get a hold of this. He didn't do anything. He didn't disobey. He didn't lie, He didn't steal, He didn't cheat, He didn't kill, He didn't murder, He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless and perfect and holy and undefiled and separate from sinners. But He took my punishment. And He took your punishment. And He suffered your pain. And He suffered your iniquity. Before God ever chastened one of His sons, He chastened His one and only son. Hey, they said, one man said, the only good son God ever had, He gave up for all the bad sons. Amen. The Son of God died at the hands of the sons of men so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I just can't figure out why He would love me, a sinner condemned unclean. So that word wounded speaks of the piercing. The word bruised speaks of the pain. The chastisement speaks of the punishment. And that word stripes, it speaks of the product. Of course, we know that is most likely a reference to the cat of nine tails that they beat the Lord Jesus Christ with. The beating, the scourging He endured. No stripes. They said it was very common after the scourging for the victims' entrails to be hanging out of their body. No one of the psalmists said in Psalm 22:17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. The hurt that He endured. Secondly, in our text this morning, can we emphasize the heart that He exhibited? Yes. But He was wounded, watch this now, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. I'm emphasizing that word, R-O-U-R. But you say, preacher, how's that his heart? Well, think about this. First of all, he was interested in us. He would not be bruised for our iniquities. He would not be wounded for our transgressions if he wasn't interested in us. I had nothing to offer God, but he had everything to offer me. Hallelujah. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. He was interested in me. The psalmist said in Psalm 8:4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man thou wouldest visit him? The Bible said in Romans 5, verse 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commended literally means to put on display. Hey. God said, I'm going to show you how much I love this world. I'm going to put my son out there for all the world to see. And he's going to say, I love you then. This much. Hallelujah to God. And he loved us and he gave himself for us. He was interested in us. This phrase also tells us he identified with us. If you look at verse number 12, and we'll get to it at the end, but the latter part of the verse says he was numbered with the transgressors. I love this. It wasn't the first time he was associated with sinners. Luke 15 said, I love this. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They said, we just want to hear what he has to say. Hey, aren't you glad that Christ receiveth sinful men? Well, I like this. I wrote this down in my Bible. This man receiveth sinners. He forgives them and eateth with them. He fellowships with them. You know, God could have forgave you and then had nothing else to do with you. Because you're still not worthy of his presence. I know we like to walk around with our head stuck up in the clouds so high, if it rained we'd drown. We think we're somebody, but we're not. I tell you, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm nothing without him. But yet he's still interested in me and he identified with me. We have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was interested in us. He identified with us. But then he intervened for us. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know what the Bible says in Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is what, church? Death. We know what wages are. Wages is what you get for doing something, what you earned. You men, Friday, you earned your wages. You earned your paycheck. You earned your wage. You accomplished that task and you were compensated for your doings. Well, you know what the wages are for sin? Death. And we're all sinners by nature, by birth, and by choice. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, sir. There is none righteous, no, not one. And those wages of sin is death. But he intervened. Amen. He intervened on my behalf. The just died for the unjust. I've given this illustration before. But if you've heard me preach more than five times, you've heard every story. I like Brother McBride says, I've only lived one life, so I only have so many life experiences. I hear some guys preach and tell stories, and they'd have to be around 150 years to live out all the stories they've told. I mean, let's just be honest with you. I mean, I'll leave it alone. But I remember reading this story years ago about a woman who had been caught for stealing. She wasn't out looting, stealing TVs and DVD players. She had stole bread because her children were hungry. It's a time of famine in her community. And she was caught and brought before the magistrate to be judged and for sentence to be carried out. And the magistrate said, ma'am, we have to fine you 10 pounds. It was over in the old country. Fine you 10 pounds for stealing this bread. She said, sir, if I had the 10 pounds, I wouldn't have stole the bread. And she said, sir, I don't have the money. He said, well, ma'am, if you don't pay the fine, you're going to have to go to jail. She said, if I go to jail, my children will starve. And the heart of that magistrate was troubled. For he knew he had to uphold the law. But love was working in his heart. So you know what he done? He took off his magistrate robe. and laid it aside and walked down where that woman was at and stood next to her and pulled the 10 pounds out of his own pocket and put it on the table. And then he walked back up behind the podium and he put his royal robe back on and he took that gavel and slammed it down and said, paid in full, thrown out of court. Somebody said, preacher, what happened that day? Well, law won and love won. Law won and love won. She could not pay that price. And he had to uphold the law. But his heart wouldn't let her go. So he went and paid the price for her. And he declared her to be free, thank God. And that's exactly what Jesus done for us. There's the hurt that he endured. There's the heart that he exhibited. And in closing this morning, there's the healing we enjoy. Watch this. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's a pretty good trade. I mean, think about it. His pain, my prescription. His affliction, my antidote. His beating was my blessing. His chastisement brought my conversion. His suffering brought my salvation. His reproach brought my remedy. His hurt brought my healing. This is a personal healing. Watch the text. We are healed. Of course, we understand the context of Isaiah 53. Isaiah is writing to Israel. But in application this morning, we all enjoy the benefits of this healing. This is not only a personal healing. This is a present healing. We are healed. How many of y'all believe everywhere in your Bible is important and there where it needs to be? It is a present. He said, we're not going to be. Hey, I got news for you. This ain't happened yet when Isaiah wrote it. 700 years before Calvary, Isaiah's writing this. It looks like, Brother Tony, it's by faith. It looks like Isaiah is trusting in this by faith. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Personal healing. It's a present healing. Personal, we, present, are. It's a permanent healing. Healed. He said we are being healed. He said we are healed. Hey, don't miss this. You know, Jesus healed blind men in the Bible. But there wasn't a blind man that he healed that was ever blind again. There's never a leper that got it again. Hey. There was never a lame man that couldn't walk again. And thank God every one of us has been to Calvary and been had that resurrection take place on the inside of us. Our physical body may die, but we'll never be sick in our sin again. Because when God does a saving job, He does a good saving job. In fact, we are sealed till the day of redemption. So I said, I think I can lose it. Good luck. How are you going to lose something when you ain't got it? Somebody said, you got it? I said, no, it's got me. It didn't say that Jesus is in my hand. It said, I'm in the Father's hand. Quit worrying. I said, well, I got this and I got it. No, who got you? I ain't worried about losing it because I ain't got it. The internet people are going to cut that line out because they say, I ain't got it. It's got, I like that old song, I went there to fight, but on that fight night, something got a hold of me. I don't got it, it has me, amen. Somebody say, well, I got some Bible for that. Good, I got a little bit for you. Who are kept by the power of God. I'm not keeping myself, you're not keeping yourself, but we are kept by the mighty power of God. We are healed this morning. And don't miss this, I'm done. We have a perfect Bible this morning. I want to clarify that. And I don't need to go to the Greek to correct my Bible. Somebody say amen. I don't need to go to the Hebrew to understand my Bible better. He gave it to me in English. But it is interesting, Brother Richie. Now that word healed in Isaiah 53, it is a Hebrew word, Rapha. That's what it means, healed. I said, preacher, I can't believe y'all ain't shouting over that. Probably because y'all ain't studied it. And so that's my job, is to inform you on what I studied this week. You see, God's people got out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 12 by the blood. and they walked through the Red Sea in Exodus 14, 13. And God, in 14, God made a way when there was no way. And they're shouting the victory. I mean, Exodus 15, they start singing, and they start shouting, and they start rejoicing, and everything is going good in the hood. I mean, they just having a time shouting and rejoicing, and then they get to a place called Marah. You know what the Bible said at Marah? They could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. Just like good Baptists. Moses, I told you we should have stayed in Egypt. Moses, I had nothing to do with this. I'm just following God. And so Moses cried unto the Lord. And so Moses cried unto the Lord. It's a good thing to do when you don't know what to do. Just cry to the Lord. And he did. And the Lord answered him and showed him a tree. He said, Moses, cut that tree down. Moses walked over there and cuts that tree down. He said, Moses, throw it in the water. He said, all those Israelites standing around. And he said, Moses forgot to take his medicine this morning. He had done lost it. The stress of ministry has finally got to Moses. He got mad at that tree and cut it down, threw it in the waters. And he took that tree and cut it down, threw it in the waters. And he got down there. And he went. They said, yep, he's going to spit it out. That water's going to be bitter. He said, sweet water. And they got down there and they drank that water. And God took that tree and made the water sweet. And you know what the Lord said? He said in Exodus 15, 26, and if thou wilt diligently hearken the voice of thy Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You look up that word healeth, it's Rapha. It's where we get the two name for God, Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth. So I said, preacher, what are you saying? For that bitter situation in their life, for that bitter thing they wasn't expecting, they wasn't wanting, they wasn't anticipating, they've already been redeemed, they've already been brought out of Egypt, but times have got hard on them. Life has left a bad taste in their mouth. So God pointed them to a tree and said, that tree will make things sweet again. Hey, child of God, you might be going through a bitter place this morning. You might be going through a dark place. You might be dealing with the unexpected and the unwanted. But thank God, look back to Calvary. Look back to the cross. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. Calvary did not just take care of my eternal issues. Calvary takes care of my everyday issues. So, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Can I sing a little of it? I'm going to, whether you say yes or not. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me, it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And I'm looking forward to this. When with the ransomed in glory his face at last shall see, it'll be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I'm glad Calvary wasn't the last time He loved me. But even when things get bitter in my life, He said, we're healed. He is the antidote. When life leaves a bad taste in your mouth, your heart's broken and your heart's heavy and you're alone, you know what He told Moses? And the Lord showed him a tree. May the Lord show us a tree this morning. But not just show us the cross. We don't worship the cross. We worship the God, the Christ, that climbed upon that cross and obtained eternal redemption for us. By the way, He didn't stay dead. He is alive. Let's stand together, please. 28 minutes I've preached.